Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
One, two, three.
Clap, clap.
Clap, clap, clap.
Clappity clap. The clap. The clap? What? Why is it called the clap?
What STI is the clap?
I think it's gonorrhea.
Crabs. Oh. What's crabs?
What is crabs?
This crabs? Is a horrible way to start the podcast.
I just like the clap sounds like something out of like the Victorian era, and yet I do have a friend that once said that her boyfriend thought he'd given her the clap, but he hadn't.
Really?
He's a naughty musician.
Naughty, naughty boy. I mean.
Never do it, ladies.
Speaking of musicians, actually, do we want to go into the very sad, harrowing, terrible news first? And then lighten it up.
And then lighten it up, yeah, with some Coachella. I mean, I was in Seoul and I'd called someone from work about something, and they, like, the Bondi attack had just been announced, and they were telling me about it, and I was then in like the back of an Uber frantically trying to use sketchy 4G to get updates. I think it just made it all like even more surreal. As surreal as it already was. It's just insane.
Yeah. So sad. So I'm sure everyone at all, I don't know actually, but anyone who has any connection to Australia and New Zealand would have heard about the Bondi Junction attack last weekend, where a guy came into Westfield Bondi Junction, which is like such a just main hub for not only like shopping in the area, but it's where the train station is. So every single day when I lived in Sydney, I would go to Bondi Junction. Mm. And he came in and then he like briefly left and then he came back with a knife and basically just started like attacking anyone in sight. And I haven't yet read the piece by Ali Izzo, but I'd love you to tell me about it. But I know that it came out later that he was targeting women specifically, which is extra terrifying.
I think it's been like an interesting conversation in the last few days, because I think not enough has come out yet for people to be able to fully make conclusions. And I liked a piece that Bree Lee wrote in her newsletter this week, where she was saying that she'd been asked to write op-eds about it and she just felt uncomfortable because she felt like there wasn't yet enough information to know for sure that he was targeting women, because he's a misogynist, versus he was targeting people that he were more vulnerable and that he thought he wouldn't be physically defeated by or whatever. But there is obviously like a very clear, there was footage that came out of like him lunging towards this mother with two girls and then the father stepping in between and putting his hands up, and the guy was quite a bit bigger than him and he kind of backed off.
That's so fucking terrifying.
Which is just terrifying. And I think it's the fact that the six victims, five were women and the only man was a security guard who was trying to help. And the majority of victims in hospital are women too. It obviously seems like it's targeted at women, but he also had such intense mental health problems and schizophrenia that I think everyone's, from what I've seen, I think people are trying to have nuance and like tread lightly. But whatever the the end result is, the feeling is the same, that it's just another way for women to feel unsafe everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm sure everyone who was there felt unsafe. It's not like the men who were there were like, well, I feel fine. It's just a horrific.
What happened with the Bollard guy? I was trying to find, I just saw heaps of tweets about it, but on an escalator, what was he doing?
The guy was coming up an escalator with this, like, it's just literally sends a shiver down your spine, this huge knife, and he got like a bollard from where they rope off areas and was trying to fight him off back down the escalator with a bollard. Wow. It's like the bravery is just incredible. And that's why I think it's important that there is a nuanced conversation about it, which I think there is, of there are a lot of incredibly brave men in that space that day that like saved victims' lives or that security guard was a refugee from Pakistan and it was his first day on the job.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I just can't fuck it. Like, it's just so horrific. I just can't stop thinking about it.
And then the lone woman officer who shot him, like such a hero. How fucking terrifying would that be?
She like ran towards it even though she was by herself and had no backup. And then she tried to talk him down and then he lunged at her. So she shot him and then she immediately tried to perform CPR on him.
I know.
Like literally build a statue.
Yeah, when these things just happen, it's obviously so many horrific things are happening in the world right now that we're so aware of. Mm. And then when it happens like so close to home, it's just such a reminder of like how fucking horrific those events that are happening constantly around us, around the world are, like for those people. I don't know, it just kind of like shakes you up in so many different ways. And then with Bondi, it's like everyone knew someone who knew someone who was there. Like my friend Gemma was literally there at the time and was like running out past bodies on the ground and stuff. And then another girl, an AWD girlie, messaged us and said, "Hi, Izzy and Grace, I was at Westfield Bondi Junction a couple of hours before the attack and I saw a girl in a bus hat." And she was like, "I can't stop thinking about whether she got out in time or not."
I think that's the thing, is like when it happened, it was that exact feeling of like, we are going to know someone who saw this or was there or was affected by this or directly knew a victim or was a victim. And that like horrific thing that I think a lot of us were doing of refreshing news feeds to see the names and like messaging everyone you know, to check that people who live in the area were okay. Like, just like you said, we're so used to being in a bit of a bubble in Australia of just not having violence of this magnitude, I think, and it feeling like something that happens to other people, and for it to be something that's, yeah, so familiar, and like not all of us, but a huge majority of people in Sydney have, yeah, been to Bondi Junction, recognize all of the stores from that footage, and the fact that it was just total luck of the draw, whether you or a loved one was there, is like, I think, what's so frightening.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Ali wrote a really good piece because, I mean, again, you know, everyone knows this and it's just so horrific to talk about, but the Ash Good, the mother, the fact that she was obviously targeted because she had a newborn baby, and the fact that she like died trying to protect her baby, it's just, it's that part of all of it's beyond comprehension, but I think that part especially. And Ali just wrote a really amazing piece about how Bondi Junction specifically and malls in general are a real haven for young mums, because when you have a newborn, you feel so vulnerable and so I guess at risk. You realize in public how yeah, if you're with a baby, you can't just like run away, or like all the things you usually think of to protect yourself completely change. And how she wrote about when she had her kids, she always felt like if she went into a trendy, cool cafe in Bondi, the barista would eye roll, or people would give her dirty looks if the baby cried. And in a mall, it's just expected. Oh, so it's like a safe space where you can just walk for hours and hours with a baby, and just the kind of suburban safeness and familiarity is really comforting. And the idea that, and apparently like the parenting room in Bondi Junction is just known as the best one in Sydney. So mums will literally travel to go get their shopping there just so they can have access to the facilities. And it's just specifically for new mums or young mums, I think it like hit really, really hard. And I thought that was a really interesting perspective, because I wouldn't have really thought of that, I guess.
Yeah. It makes it so much more terrifying, you know, to be like, oh, this is the place where you just take your baby so that you can just like have some fucking relaxing time. Also, because malls are just so comfortable. They're like the place that we used to go as kids and as teenagers, and like you just kick about and you go to the food court and you are like really, you're so much more. Polly, shut the fuck up. Hey, shut up. She's just like, like she's literally like the size of a shoe. And she like barks at, like, she barked at a dog last night with her cone on because she just got spayed. I was like, bitch, she can't even walk. Yeah, it's like, it's also like when you're outside on the street, you're like more aware, which I'm sure is what Ali's piece was talking about. And then when you're in a mall, you're kind of like, woo, let's go to fucking Sephora and Zara and
yeah, the food court.
The food court and get butter chicken.
Exactly. And I think another thing that's terrifying about it is often when I'm trying to think of an example and I'm coming up short, but often when there's stories like this, we want a takeaway. Like we want a thing of, okay, this is why when you do X, you need to be hypervigilant or hyper careful, or like women, this is why you need to do X, Y, and Z. Unfortunately, when you know, don't walk home by yourself through a park at night, or don't, like, we're looking for lessons or takeaways to make us safer. And with this, it's just, there's nothing. I mean, women are never responsible for male violence, but like in that situation, it's so random, it's so indiscriminate. There's nothing anyone could do in their day-to-day lives to avoid being in that situation. And that's fucking terrifying too.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I found it really, I mean, I think with everything that happens, when it happens in a, like, I'm not saying that this attack, I'm saying we should just sit with the grief of that and we shouldn't have to like make it this wider big thing. But like, I really loved how my friend Gemma, who was there, oh, she's deleted it now, the poor thing. But she like posted a statement just being like I was there and I never thought I'd be in that situation. And she was like, there is so much violence that goes on every day around us. Like, and I'm so guilty of like switching off or whatever. But this, like seeing this firsthand just like reminded me of like how much we just need to try to minimize like suffering, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really sweet. And she was just like, my like thoughts go out to like all of the families, and fucking hell, she's literally the girl who I was with that night when my friend Eliza got murdered, and she used to live with her. I was like, give her a break.
God, Jesus, Izzy.
I know.
It's so horrific. And yeah, I think like you say, it's that thing now as well of, I think just with like world events recently, the access of smartphone technology and our ability to see just how horrific these things are, that in the past you've read as a newspaper headline and you think, oh, that's so terrible, but you're mm-hmm. able to look away from it. And this is like yet another example of something where we just weren't able to look away from the horror. And I think that's why it sat with people even more so than normal. If you read this headline, everyone would be shocked and horrified and reading about it and discussing it and traumatized by it. But I think the fact that we've seen this footage that gives us such a visceral sense of what it would be like to have been there just makes it all feel, yeah, it allows more empathy, I think.
Yeah, it's like terrible and quite, it's like terrible that this is constantly, because terrible news is so constant, not always so close to home, that it's like so hard, because you're constantly battered with it, and it's like can be really, really stressful and overwhelming, but at the same time, yeah, it makes you really completely like understand what's going on in a way you wouldn't before. Like even in Vegas when that guy shot all those people out that hotel room, and I was kind of like, it was obviously terrible, but I was kind of zoned out from it because I was like, I've never been to Vegas. Like, I don't know. I just had it. And then like we're in Vegas recently and we're like, oh, that's the hotel. That's the park. Like there was just a music festival happening there.
I think that's it as well with America, like these mass events of violence to a lot of people at once, because we have become quite desensitized to these mass shootings, which is just so horrific. I think
yeah,
it's exactly that. We just think, oh, that's terrible. But it feels like something that's happened a million miles away to people who are, I don't know, different from us or something. And then you suddenly realize with that event, just, yeah, for that to be happening regularly over there. And it, you know, it goes without saying, but it is just such a incredible testament to Australia's gun laws changing, because you just think about how much more fucking carnage could have happened.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's, yeah. The same week, it's been like a...
Speaking of... Sorry, I was like, no, I was like, it's silent. And then I was like, can I say, which is like so cursed. I was going to be like, speaking of music festivals. But no, please talk about more terror.
This is like a good news story if you really want to be an optimist, which I'm trying to be this week. But it's such a huge news week in Australia. The other story that happened is that literally, I think 2 days after the Bondi Junction attack, was that the judgment came down for Bruce Lerman's defamation case. This is like a little bit complicated, so I'll just give a background explainer. But
yeah, I don't know enough about this.
It's at all really. Yeah. So basically, Brittany Higgins gave an interview to Lisa Wilkinson on Channel 10. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. Alleging that she had been sexually assaulted by a fellow staffer in Parliament House. And that was a huge, huge bombshell of an interview. I'm sure everyone in Australia knows about it and has seen it. And he was charged and taken to court. And while the case was happening, legal experts said it looked very much like it was going in Brittany Higgins's favor. She had to be examined for like days on the stand. And because he was the defendant, he legally didn't have to be questioned at all, which is just like a horrific part of our legal system. And it was obviously very, very distressing for her and took a huge toll on her mental health, especially because the defense lawyers were accusing her of being a liar and all of these things. Then after that, when the trial had nearly finished, a juror got caught with material that they weren't allowed to have about the case. It was tangentially related to the case. And the whole trial was thrown out because of juror misconduct. And so they had to do a retrial. And the judge asked Brittany Higgins if she could handle being on the stand again. And she said she couldn't for her mental health, that she couldn't go through it another time. And I just remember when that happened, just like the fury, I just think so many people felt of like, he's going to get off with this because he's traumatized her so much. Like, it's just so insane.
Yeah. How fucked the legal system is.
It's literally so fucked. So then the case was dropped. It was absolutely outrageous. But on top of that, he then said, okay, well, I haven't been found guilty. I'm now going to sue Lisa Wilkinson for defaming me. By doing the interview in the first place. So he sued ABC, Channel 7. He sued multiple news outlets and Lisa Wilkinson individually. And Lisa Wilkinson is a fucking hero, and she refused to listen to the advice of the Channel 10 lawyers who told her to settle. And she got her own lawyers and she took it to court and went through a court case, which would have been so stressful for her, so expensive, like exhausting emotionally. And basically he lost the case on Monday, and now the media is legally allowed to call him a rapist.
Oh my God, thank fuck.
I know. So he's not going to go to jail. It's like a small win, but the fact that he was trying to get money out of Lisa Wilkinson after already getting away with something that he, on the balance of probabilities, blah, 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 did, and now gets to be called by the Australian media a rapist for the rest of his life, I just think is like a small thing to celebrate this week.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I'm trying to think who else. There was something similar. There was someone else that did that, like sued someone for defamation when they'd like definitely done it. And it was coming into my brain. I can't remember who it was.
The audacity of men will like never fail to stagger me.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah, because I saw Culture Club, Maggie's podcast, like posting all about it. And I was like, I just didn't know the name, even though I obviously know Brittany Higgins, like the case, like Brittany Higgins's story and everything. I was like, who's this Bruce fellow? And then I was like, oh, brilliant.
Horrible Bruce. One of the best parts of the case was that he did this horrific interview with Channel 7, like, I don't even know why. And it came out that Channel 7 couldn't pay him officially, so they gave him like unlimited expenses to try and win him over to do the interview, and they paid for him to get bags of coke and sex workers to his hotel room before he did the interview.
What? Channel 7?
Channel 7, a like rogue staffer went rogue and testified at the defamation trial.
Oh my god,
so major.
That is just so fucking cursed.
It's so cursed. We think that like boys, like Jada, embarrassing boys club mentality is just gone, and it's still so prevalent.
Yeah, exactly. I think also like what we were talking about with the fucking P. Diddy stuff. I've got another segue now. Brilliant. Like it's, yeah, you think that that stuff's been all uncovered, but it just hasn't. It's just going to slowly keep unraveling.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Speaking of P. Diddy, do you know who came out and did a surprise set at Coachella? Kesha. Wake up in the morning. She goes, wake up in the morning like, fuck P. Diddy.
oh my God, I love that.
Because her fucking song was Wake Up in the Morning Feeling Like P. Diddy. And she literally sang that song. And it was so funny because this was at like such a already hilarious moment in time where, do you know who Renee Rapp is? I think we've like talked about her on the podcast before.
I do, because I just watched Mean Girls like 2 days ago.
Okay, yes. So she's in Mean Girls. And she's like this new Gen Z pop star. She's got like a song with Megan Thee Stallion. She's got a bunch of poppy hits that she's also a lesbian, which is like very important context because lesbians are obsessed with her, including my 21-year-old or 20, how old is she now? 22-year-old sister. Nahiwi. So Renee Rapp is her like Rihanna, like quite genuinely. And so she lost her fucking mind about us going to Coachella. She called me and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, driving to Coachella. And she was like, no.
Renee Rapp is so charismatic. It is crazy.
Yes. She's so gorgeous. I can see why she has a crush on this one. She has some really questionable lesbian crushes, but I agree with this one. And anyway, so I was like, I'll go see her for you because she was kind of just on when no one else was on. And I do like, Nahiwi has played me enough of her songs that I do like her music now. And so me and Amar went and we had artist passes, which we had last year, but we just didn't know how any of it works. Like you just have to figure it out. It's like It's no one explains to you. The security guards don't know anything apart from like their own tiny section. So there's those golf carts that you always see like the Biebers on and like and all of the artists on. And my friend once told me, she like worked with Calvin Harris when he performed at Coachella. And she said that there's like this huge back part of Coachella that's basically like a whole nother festival where all the artists and stuff all hang out. Last year, we just couldn't find a fucking thing. We had no idea what was going on. But this year we, for also because Renee Rapp wasn't on the main stage, like you just can obviously like get better access. So we were like literally at the front, like right at the front. She like kind of looked at us like, who the fuck are you? And like, why are you with like my sister? And then she performed and she was really good. And then Amar was sitting down. He was literally like sitting on the ground on his phone, surrounded by screaming lesbian girls and gays. And he was so grumpy. I kept being like, she's so pretty, look at her. And he was like shooting me the evils. And then Kesha came out and I started like hysterically screaming and filming. And she played that
song.
But
she came out in Renee Rapp's.
Yeah, set. She was like a cameo.
Love. I love that girlies do this now.
Yeah, me too. I also love that people like Renee Rapp and Olivia Rodrigo are so good for it. They bring out older, like Olivia Rodrigo is bringing out Alanis Morissette. She's bringing out Avril Lavigne. She's bringing out all these people she's been obsessed with growing up.
Yeah, Lily Allen.
Yeah, Lily Allen. And yeah, so Kesha came out. It was so fucking good. She sang that song, Don't Stop, the only song I know. And I was like yelling to Amar. He's like, who's Kesha? And I was like, who's Kesha?
I'm like literally scandalized by that comment.
I know. I was like, her record label stopped her from producing any other music. She was sexually assaulted. Like screaming at her during the
she
thing.
She was sexually assaulted by Dr. Luke. What else does she sing? She sings that meme. TikTok?
Yeah.
What else?
Before TikTok was a thing. Has that song gone viral on TikTok? Surely.
Did she invent the phrase TikTok? Because it's spelt like the app.
Yeah.
She's a pioneer.
And then my friend.
How was she looking? Was she looking happy and healthy?
Yeah, she was looking gorgeous.
Great.
And she had a top on that said, I am mother, which also really annoyed Amar. And then we got like kicked out of that area. We went back to like by the sound booth or whatever. And Amar's sitting on the ground at this point too. And I'm angry because I just want someone to party with. And then Tawa Bird came out, who's my friend's sister, and she does like guitar. She had been opening for Renee Rapp for a while, and she's just like this amazing guitarist from London who blew up on TikTok in the pandemic. I think I've talked about her on here. And then now she lives in LA and kind of just works with like all these crazy artists. And anyway, she came out for one of Renee's songs, and they always on stage have had like this crazy sexual chemistry. Like they really look like they're going to buss on stage. And then Nahiwi texts me and goes, they're going out now.
Are they?
Yeah. And then I text her sister and was like, are these two dating now? And she was like, yeah, they went public a month ago. So now Nahiwi like fully can meet Renee Rapp.
That's an amazing tale.
I know.
I love it. Who else? So who else? Give us a full-blown creature. I was just looking at, I must confess I've watched no sets except snippets of Lana's. Mm-hmm. But I was looking at the fashion. How was it from a, maybe start with a, how was it from a vibe perspective and a fashion perspective?
Okay. So I actually wrote a piece for Rush on it about like, is Coachella still worth it? Because this is the first year in over a decade that it hasn't sold out. So weekend one sold out, but weekend two hasn't. And in like, for context, in like 2016, both weekends sold out in 40 minutes. In 2018, it was like 3 hours, and that's 300,000 tickets. And they're all like, the VIP ones are so expensive, thousands and thousands of dollars. Like the whole trip is obviously so expensive if you're coming from overseas, which we were when we went in 2018. But yeah, I think there's like a lot of factors as to why that happened. And one of which is like the fact that Taylor Swift and Beyonce both just did huge tours, huge stadium tours, and people were paying that much money to be at the front of their shows. And also the way the music industry has kind of, through TikTok and social media and the internet now, how there's so many super fans of like much smaller artists. So like Same with, you know how we talk about like there's no new movie stars? It's kind of the same mm-hmm. with music. And so like, for example, last year, one of the biggest reasons I wanted to go was because Charli XCX was playing and she wasn't a headliner. And also Rosalía wasn't a headliner, weirdly. Like the two people that I wanted to see. And like Coachella relies so heavily on those headliners pulling
that's
the crowd.
That's so interesting. That's so true, because that's how I mean, part of it I think is just me getting older and being like less in the know. But when I look, when I looked at the lineup, I feel like the number of acts that I know obviously goes down and down and down. And that exact thing of, do you really want to go all the way out there to see one or two people?
Who you could just pay to see. Like
who you could pay to see in a more intimate, curated environment. I think the curation of the experience is like a huge thing as well, that I know a live show has always been that, but what Taylor Swift and Beyonce have done specifically is just like the community thing and the actual experience of being there, turning that into such a thing.
Yeah.
It's very different from a festival.
I think, yeah, exactly. But I think the pull of Coachella and those huge festivals is the amount of stage production that goes into it. It's so different seeing someone doing a festival show versus doing their own concert show, because they'll like, they just go harder in a different way. So I think like for Tyler, the Creator, not so much for Dear Lana, but for Tyler, the Creator and Doja Cat, they just went so fucking crazy on the stage production. So that was like a really cool thing to see. And for both of them, I listen to a lot of Doja Cat's music, but I'm not like that into her as a person. And I never listened to Tyler, the Creator's music ever. And we went to his, I was like upset that he was a headliner basically, even though I think he's a cute guy. And then we went to his show and I literally could not take my eyes off him the whole time. Like, he is just such an incredible performer. He is such an incredible rapper. He's got so much. He's such an incredible dancer. He's such an incredible singer. He has so much stage presence. He's so stylish. He's so funny. He's so cute. I was like, you could perform to me every night of my life and I'd be happy. that's so like that that's, stuff's cool about a festival. Like seeing those acts that you were maybe walking past and then you stop and then they're like, they surprise you and then you start to like, you just discover more music, which is really fun.
I think that's interesting, is like Coachella is so dependent on the artists putting in the effort in their sets. And I just keep thinking about when you saw Frank Ocean last year and like how, I don't know, I feel like part of that is to blame for this drop in Coachella thing, because if you
if
that had been some like absolutely insane set, you know, once in, which it was once in a lifetime in many ways, but if it had been that, like the Tyler, the Creator thing or the Beyonce one that you saw a few years ago, that's what turns Coachella into this experience that people feel like they absolutely have to be at and can't miss. It's mm-hmm. actually so dependent on the artists caring enough to put in the effort.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think like, I think the thing about Coachella, which I kind of talked about in the Rush piece, and then I had to submit it literally like the day, because you guys are, not you guys, you're not even in Australia anymore, but Australia is a day ahead. So like on Sunday before day three had even started, like in Australia, they're doing wrap-ups of the best, like the best style from Coachella, the best music from Coachella. And it's like, we're not even, it's not finished. So then they were like, hurry up with the piece. And I was like, okay, well, fucking hell. So I wrote it in literally like an hour. And I wish I'd talked more about, I talked about how like Coachella itself, it's quite surprising that it hasn't, I know it has kind of become uncool in recent years, but it's surprising that it hasn't been canceled even more, because it's literally like this festival that is, that favors so much celebrity culture, rich people, because they can get the VIP access, like coked up celebrities, brand activations everywhere. It just feels like Jeff Bezos was there this weekend and he's there like every fucking time. You would just think it's a place that we would have really turned against ages ago. And it's kind of surprising that it has managed to stay relevant. And then I was thinking about why that is. And I think that the influencer side sucks and the brand side does suck. But I think the celebrity side in a way just kind of, like, even though we'd like to act like we're above fucking celebrities, like it does, even though they're like cordoned off in their own sections for some of it, it does kind of add to this thing of like, we're all one watching the same music together and coming out to like dance or something. Like there is something that kind of is community about it. Like Taylor Swift was just walking through the festival grounds. with her little like hat on and her festival boots.
Yeah, I was going to say it's that thing of like how many places in the world can you go that you know that Taylor Swift and her boyfriend will just be milling about, and yeah. the answer is zero. One.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, it's not very vibey as a festival in terms of like the crowd. I think that's one thing. Like no one seems super into it, but I do also think that's an American thing because I went to a festival in Nashville, Tennessee in like 2015. And these Americans we met didn't know who Radiohead were, who were the headliners. Like, they just go to, like, hang out and have fun and they're so chill. And they're also just way less fucked up. Like, you go to a festival in Australia, New Zealand or the UK and people are, like, pissing everywhere, vomiting everywhere, like, pilled up, like, to the nines. So and true. In America, they're just so chill. Like, maybe they're a little bit stoned. Maybe they're drinking a little bit, but not really. Maybe they've taken some mushrooms. It just feels like a different experience. And I think, yeah, Coachella's vibe is definitely lacking in that way because of influences, but it's still fun.
It still pulls like a great crowd, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it still pulls. I get some of them maybe have to be there contractually for events or something, but it does just feel like all the cute, cool girlies who are at least the ones in LA always
yeah.
go.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing, like, because it's so easy to get to from LA, like, if you live there, it's literally, for me, it was like an hour and a half drive, which is how long it'll take me to get to Venice Beach right now, and mm-hmm. you just drive out to the desert, and then it's, like, beautiful weather, you get a house with a pool, and you can drive onto the festival grounds, like, it is very chill, and I know that I obviously had, for the past 2 years, like, quite I had an experience that you sort of need to have at this age, I think, to enjoy Coachella. But yeah. when I went mid-20s, I fucking, as like a real punter, no VIP access for me. I like loved it. Portaloos all day.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're doing it now how I would ideally love to do Coachella.
I know. I was even like, fuck, should we go back this weekend? Because we can get more passes. But like, because we also left... We left halfway through Lana's set.
No.
She was so, like, not
yeah,
good.
Yeah, they tell me. Oh, no. Okay, so this is a famous thing with her is that, like, she's not great live. I've seen her live, I think three times. Definitely two. I think two plus a festival. And the smaller the venue, the better it is, I've found. So I actually thought that when I saw her at Coachella, I was like, I wonder how she's going to go with that huge space. She rode it on a motorcycle and she wrote on a caption for her Instagram, four wheels moves the body, two wheels moves the soul.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I'm such a new Lana girl that like, I know, I was like, I bet you this is part of her charm being
yeah.
shit. But she
spinning around on that pole.
Yeah, she was like bad for a few. So basically the motorbike was the best part, but it was so funny because she like rode in on this motorbike. I was really pissed off because we were like, I don't know, getting drinks and like fucking ages away from the stage. And then I made Amar like run. He was like, you don't even like this girl. I was like, fucking hell, let's go. And then she came in on a motorbike, but then she like got off the motorbike and sat on stage and it looked really beautiful because all these beautiful ethereal women were sitting around her. And that was like, would have been the perfect moment to start singing a song. But then she kind of like pauses, looks around. She's like, hey, Coachella. And her mic wasn't on. She had so many mic issues, the poor thing. Aww. And like so, so many mic issues. And yeah, her mic wasn't on. She was like, hey, Coachella. And then she like stood up and started like walking around the stage. Like she was like a lost lamb. And then she like finally found another place to sing. And I was like, why did you, what was that even about?
Yeah, I do feel like it's part of her charm is that she's not a showman. Yeah. Like she's not a,
yeah, everyone would be
she's
upset.
She's no Swiftie.
If she, yeah.
It's not like a highly orchestrated performance.
Yeah, it made me like her more.
Yeah, which I think is very charming. I like that she's like obsessed with Billie Eilish, and I like that she got Billie out and they did video games together.
Yeah, I wanted to die that I missed that. I was so sad because I'd been up since 4:30 that morning for some fucking cursed reason, and then we were like in the crowd. I was just not dressed properly, so I was like freezing. Lana's mic kept fucking out, and like, I was like, let's just go home. And then I started streaming it on the drive home, and saw Billy came out. I was like, turn the car around.
Okay, so nice. Yeah. Lana. Who else? So Doja Cat House. I mean, I loved all the outfits. I haven't watched the whole set, but I appreciated the – I like Doja Cat's wacky style.
She was incredible. She was so good. She had Paris Goebel choreographing the whole thing.
Yeah.
Love of your life.
She knows. She knows. I would have started crying.
Her set was incredible. Like, really, really. I mean, Tyler, the Creator, I loved more because I think I liked his stage presence more. Doja Cat had great, she's such a boss, but she didn't, like, interact with the crowd at all, which is weirdly something I've realized I need. She kind of just performed, like, this crazy performance, but didn't really ever speak to us or, like, interact with us in any way. Whereas Tyler was kind of like, Tyler was making such jokes. He was like, he's like, man, it is late. And he was like, thanks for all coming out here to watch my tired ass on stage. I'm going to have a sweaty dick for the next 2 hours.
And they like him so much.
Yeah. And then like I ate really a sandwich do. On stage.
That's nice.
Like a sandwich. And he brought out ASAP Rocky. And obviously I died. And I was like, I bet you that means Rihanna's here. And then we went to an after party that looked like it was going to be really shit. It was like a pizza slime after party who were like some like meme account. And to sign up, you had to do like some weird sign up form. It was like promising the worst, but we didn't want to go to Neon Carnival because I was like, I'm absolutely not going to listen to like EDM with fucking Leo and Toby. So we went to the pizza slime one, and it ended up being like a Revolve after party. So I was like, oh, maybe it will be good. Because weirdly, Revolve, the best thing Revolve does is these Coachella parties. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got there and there was like pizza, obviously. And we were eating pizza and Amar had like his hood up and this other person had their hood up too. And I was watching Amar like steal pizza from them. Like he like grabbed the box and like moved it away from them. And then I like looked at them again, and then I realized there was like two security guards standing behind them. And then I was like, Amar. And he was like, what? And I was like, don't, like, I was like, you're stealing pizza from Billie Eilish. And they both like look like little goths with their hoods up, like eating pizza.
Not looking at each other.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
And then the party was kind of boring. There was like nothing happening. And then my friend goes, oh my God, ASAP Rocky just arrived and he's holding someone's hand. And I was like, started like literally hyperventilating.
Heart palpitations.
Like was with Amar's workmates and was like absolutely embarrassing myself. And I was like, what the fuck? And so I went into the crowd and ASAP and Rihanna had like gotten up on stage and were like dancing and doing tequila shots and stuff.
That is fucking nuts. Did she look amazing? I'm just Googling now because I hadn't seen pictures of her outfit. This is her with the blonde hair.
Yeah, and the fur thing, fur stole. Yeah, that was at the party. That was her walking through the party. It was crazy.
How did you handle it seeing her up close?
Not well. I it was just annoying because I was kind of sober by that point and was just annoyed at myself because I felt like I wasn't in the moment. I felt like I was like watching the moment. Like, I felt like I was just being like, oh, Rihanna's here. Like, I'll stay and watch her for a bit. But I was like, I wish I was like, I'd have arrived at this party. I'm ready to get lit. I'm going to dance with Rihanna and like dance around near her and take like tequila shots. But instead I was like, I'm just going to watch her for a little bit and then go to bed. It was pretty crazy. We got in the car on the way home and I played her Super Bowl halftime show from start to finish. And then Amar banned me from saying the words Rihanna.
Rihanna ASAP Rocky. I'm trying to think of the other talking points I've seen. I saw that Blur played to like a completely indifferent crowd who seemed to have no idea who they were and then were like, this is embarrassing, we're gonna finish soon.
Yeah,
which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, Amar was like, he was like, yeah, they surely they know who Blur is. And I was like, I don't think they.
What happened with Grimes? She was like surprisingly low down. Like I feel like she should have demanded her name be slightly bigger.
She's been so random for so long. We didn't go because Amar was like, it's going to be really bad. And I was like, will she play Oblivion? He was like, no. And
I was going to say, I exclusively know that like one album from 2015.
Yeah, and two songs off it. We missed like so many people. We missed Ice Spice. We missed like, I don't know. We kind of stayed in Palm Springs and like went out for pancakes and like lay by the pool and stuff and just missed like everything in a really shitty way. But yeah, Grimes was bad. She like said that her track somehow got sped up to double speed and she like couldn't keep up. But then my friend was like, she says that like every time she DJs.
That's so her as well.
I know. What's she talking about? So
be responsible. Someone on her Instagram goes, be responsible and learn how to actually DJ. Please respect the art form.
I mean, it is true.
That's true. Like, yeah. I also saw that Sabrina, like, who is Sabrina Carpenter? I'm actually just never going
to
learn.
I'm so sad I missed her. Accept. I really wanted to go to her. I had like so many people I really wanted to see.
She had a Coachella set. I love that she's a singer and I love that Barry was there and he was in literally the most random Burberry shorts, a tank top that says Versace, a Burberry scarf and just
too
like white Nike sneakers. And what I think this is what I love about him is he's just this rare person that's like very unexpectedly found himself famous and is so happy to be famous. And he's just out and about and he's not being one of those like tortured artists that pretending he's too good for it. He's not doing a Jacob Elordi where he's like tastefully carrying a Bottega Veneta handbag and like reading poetry to GQ. He's just out here bussing a sexy pop star. He's at fucking Coachella.
Yeah.
He's just a lad. Every designer. Yeah, he's just a lad.
He's just a lad, like, honestly. He'll just be, like, so lit. Apparently he was at that party too. But I feel like
he'd be a true menace.
Yeah, he would have been, like, in the middle of the crowd.
Yeah. He would just be like, hey, Rihanna, I appreciate him and what he's bringing to the world.
Yeah. Who else did I see that was good? I literally saw, like, fucking Renee Rapp. That's about it.
I was going through the fashion looks and there was just a picture of Alessandra Ambrosio denim cutoffs and a flowy white shirt and she was doing the peace sign and I was like, honestly, all is well in the world so long as Alessandra Ambrosio keeps going to Coachella.
What's funny about that is she doesn't even know that that has been passed for so long that she's now bringing it back. She's like stayed in the same spot for so long that the cut were like, Alessandra Ambrosio, like, reviving Coachella style and, like, boho aesthetics. She doesn't even know about the Chloe show. She doesn't know what's going on, but she's, like, right there in the thick of it.
She makes me feel safe, like, knowing she exists.
I saw so many fucking Victoria's Secret angels. I was like, another one. I felt like I was at the Victoria's Secret show. But last year was like, please stop pointing out. Because I was like, oh, there's blah blah, and he was like, please stop pointing people out because I like hate it, it's making me feel just less anonymous at this anonymous festival. And I was like, fair. So then I was like, not doing it on purpose. Like Justin and Haley were like right beside us, so I was like, I'm just not gonna tell him because he's gonna get annoyed with me. And then I go, okay, I know you told me not to do this, but I just saw the chef from Below Deck mid-season 5. He was like, tell me.
Yeah, he would have been like, that is the exception to the rule. The niche reality stars, I feel like it's interesting to me that the Vanderpump crew don't like own Coachella.
One of them was there. Tom, not the naughty one, Schwartz. Wait,
yeah.
Which one?
He's also naughty, but yeah.
He was there.
Oh, yuck. He is like, you should really be watching this season. It's a hard watch. Like he's dating this like poor girl who has no idea what's going on ever called Jo. And she's his live-in girlfriend. And on the show, they go to a singles night and he puts on like a green headscarf or whatever to say that he's single. And she's just like perplexed and confused. And it's so hard to watch.
She lives with him and he's got a singles cap on.
Yeah. And he's like hooking up with people at this party. And she just doesn't understand that he's like embarrassed to say they're dating on the show. So she keeps being like, da, da, da. It's so sad.
We have
And now
been
he's like
there.
Dating a 20-year-old and going to Coachella.
We have all been the girlfriend that they're embarrassed to commit to.
We have. Okay, that's good. Good stuff. Just the Leo of it all. Does he still dabble?
He was there. He was at. Guess the brand had like a crazy compound, like a guest compound at Coachella this year, and they took like so many people. It was where Devin and Sydney were. And we're, I don't know, just a bunch of kind of like that girl adjacent type of influencer. And they had a party on Friday night that was apparently like the craziest party of Coachella. And we were on the guest list, but went home because I was so fucking tired and just didn't think it was going to be that good. And then apparently it was really, really good. Got shut down by police at 6 a.m, but Leo and Toby were there.
Oh, Toby.
My friend said, she was like, it was so gross.
Toby. I feel like Devin had truly the outfit of Coachella.
What was she wearing? Just which one? I obviously know what she was wearing, but which one?
The pink top, yes. With the leopard bra.
Yeah,
I
was like, and the
this
jeans.
Is just, it's perfect. It's exactly right.
She's so perfect. I didn't see Charlie and she was there.
Get the temperature so correct.
Mm-hmm. I love that she just goes out with what's-her-face's. Who does she go out with? The grandson of
Jack Nicholson's, like, nephew.
Yeah, I love it.
Duke. Me too. Nice. Amelia. I feel like the trifecta now, it's like Amelia Greig, Devin Lee, and fucking Gabriette. I'm like, what are those three? I don't think Amelia Grey went.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, she did. I was going to say, surely.
She did, but I wasn't that into her fit. It was it was another one of those very chill outfits, and she just wore, like, I liked it. So it's on her page. She wore, like, loafers with socks, which feels, I know this. Oh, yeah, still cool, but it feels done. And then the blue denim shorts and a white crop. She looks cute. Like, I like it more than I liked when Kendall went in, like, that all black look. But it's very relaxed. We need a bit more fun.
Yeah, just a tad more.
Yeah, like Devin's leopard bra. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, she just got it.
I saw some cool. I saw a lot of like Chipova Luena skirts.
Nice.
One on a guy. So that's like festival style done right. Actually, my friend Emma, who came over from London, she was wearing a band t-shirt, a Chipova Luena skirt, and Nike shocks. I was like, that's a perfect look.
Yeah.
I literally really wore the same. I wore the same shorts that I wore last year. I was like, fuck
that's
it.
That's nice. Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it. Who cares? I'm just going to wear the exact same. They're like these. What are they called? What are those shorts called that are like just go past your knee?
Yeah.
Why have I lost the thing? The like tight shorts that just go past your knee.
Oh, like a capri pant.
Yeah, a capri pant.
Yeah. Yes.
I just wore those again.
That's nice. What shoes?
My Givenchy marshmallow ones. The sandals.
Cute. Travis and Taylor, for some reason seeing them at Coachella just gave me this like little gut instinct that they're going to get engaged.
I know.
Something washed over me and I was like, I think it's happening.
Yeah. They have been together for fucking a while now. Like it's a while in celebrity land because you're weathering the paps, the fans, the tours, the games. There's like a lot happening. Feels like a COVID accelerated romance times 10. You know, you're like almost at the engaged with kids stage by now.
Exactly.
I wouldn't mind it, but I still can't get over the fact that that man has a podcast and that he talks about her on his podcast with his brother.
Yeah.
It's crazy. How does she let him do that?
It's so terrifying. You're like walking on such tenterhooks all the time. Travis Kelce.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I want them to get married. I need just like it's been 10 years since Kim and Kanye. I just need something of that level in my life again. A major celebrity news. Is it still just going and going and going?
It's going and going and going. It's quite weird. She goes to London in June, and then she goes back to London in August. So I think she does like 4 London dates at Wembley Stadium in June, like June 20th or something. And then she comes back August 15, 16, 17, 18. After doing like, she does Paris twice as well. But I think she just must be like dotting around Europe.
Do you think you could?
I'm going to try and go for sure.
Yeah. I think you'll pull it off. I have faith.
But yeah, what else from Coachella? I'm trying to think if anything of note happened other than I like wasn't filming. It was quite funny. I wasn't filming Rihanna at the after party because I was like, don't be lame. And then I was like, you have to do it for the close friends. So
did
I filmed.
You do it?
Yeah, I filmed her and put it on Close Friends on our AWD. I didn't post anything on my personal though because I'm too embarrassed
doing
myself.
God's work.
Yeah. No one even cared, but I guess you just don't care if you're not in the room. Like you kind of do.
I guess it feels like part of the course.
Yeah, I didn't even care the next day. I was like, I'm over it now. But when I was there, I was like, this is the craziest thing that's ever happened.
She's just in that, like with Beyonce, I guess, Taylor Swift, like they're in that level of fame where you do struggle to believe they're actually just real people.
Mm. I think also her being with ASAP, like her being her dance, she was literally dancing with him and doing shots with him and stuff. It was quite a beautiful thing to behold.
It truly is like the great love story of our age. They are the Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton of the 2020s.
I can't believe we haven't even started talking about the Jam. We have to go to Patreon.
We'll have to talk about, we could talk about the Jam on Patreon for the whole episode.
We probably will. I want to name all 50 people. I've been writing a list.
It's around, thank you for the delicious basket. Oh my God, I can't wait to talk about it. Okay, goodbye guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.